You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Julia Cameron. Julia Cameron has had a remarkable career, which in turn has given remarkable help to others. An award-winning poet, playwright, and filmmaker, she has written 30 books, ranging from her widely praised, hard-hitting crime novel, The Dark Room, to her volumes of children's poems and prayers. Despite her extensive film and theater credits, Cameron is best known for her hugely successful works on creativity. The Artist's Way has sold more than 2 million copies worldwide, and her follow-up bestsellers, The Vein of Gold, Walking in This World, and The Right to Write, are likewise flagship books, which are taught in universities, churches, human potential centers, even in tiny clusters deep in the jungles of Panama. Citing creativity as an authentic spiritual path, Cameron's work has been embraced by such diverse spiritual groups as Buddhists, Sufis, Roman Catholics, Church of Religious Science, and Unity Church. Learn more about her latest projects at juliacameronlive.com. She will be in Virginia Beach from June 3rd to the 5th. For the conference, Julia Cameron's Creativity and Spirituality, Further Along the Artist's Way, with Kevin Tedeschi. You can find out more by going to edgarcayce.org, clicking on Events, and then clicking on Conferences. Thanks for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
You are best known for your book, The Artist's Way. For the listeners who are not familiar with it, can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yes. The Artist's Way is a support kit for people's creativity. It's based on the idea that we are all creative, and that if we use just a couple of simple tools, we can become much more creative.
Wow. Well, what was your inspiration for that book?
Well, I think it was that I came from a large family, and when I would learn something when I was a youngster, I would immediately turn around and teach it to my little sister. And I think I saw that there was a need for people to have a toolkit around creativity, and so I devised one and passed it on just like I did in my family.
Have you ever had a time when you struggled with your own creativity?
I'm doing that right this minute.
Oh, goodness.
I'm writing a book, and I wrote 200 pages that I'm not going to be able to use. They just were going in a wrong direction. So that has me paying close attention and hoping for the best.
Oh, yes. So I guess with creativity, sometimes you go in the wrong direction for a while. Maybe that helps you go in the right direction.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it was 200 pages that got me somewhere, even if it didn't get me where I wanted to go.
What are some of the major stumbling blocks that you have found?
Well, I think the hardest one is probably perfectionism. And that is that you want something to be perfect right out the gate, and you don't want to do the work of polishing and refining. And I actually find that books take several drafts, and that my first draft is very seldom exactly on the money.
So perfectionism, I know that's true with me. Whenever I'm doing an audiobook, even though I'm not writing anything, I will read a section over and over again, and that can just really cause, I guess, frustration because I just can't seem to get it right.
Right.
So I guess the same thing happens when you're writing. You have to somehow overcome that.
I say to myself that in order to be a good writer, I have to be willing to be a bad writer.
What are some of the tools available to us to overcome blocks?
Well, this is the primary tool of The Artist's Way. It's a tool called Morning Pages. And that is 3 pages of longhand morning writing that you do first thing. And they are just strictly stream of consciousness. And what I find is that they provoke and clarify and comfort and cajole and prioritize and synchronize the day you've got ahead of you. And what they do, because there's no wrong way to do them, they miniaturize your sensor. You know, your sensor will say, "Oh, Art, you're being so petty." And you'll say, "Thank you for sharing," and keep right on writing. That becomes a portable skill. In other words, if you're going to step on to the stage to do improv and your sensor starts shrieking at you that you're going to be a fool, you say, "Thank you for sharing," and you keep right on stepping on stage. So it's a very powerful tool, and it puts people in touch with what they want and what they don't want. I sometimes say to people, you're building a spiritual radio kit, and with morning pages you're sending. You're saying, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I want more of, this is what I want less of. And as you send out this message, it draws back to you things that are in alignment with what you've asked for. So you start to experience synchronicity.
So then, morning pages, free writing.
Right.
Wow. I know that that sensor you talk about, that can be a big problem with, like when I was in law school, I took 2 semesters of trial practice because it was an elective and I just kept trying. But one of my biggest issues, the reason I took an extra class in that was because presenting, you know, I have that sensor that kind of prevents me from doing it fluidly, it seems. But I found that with a lack of sleep sometimes, that sensor is more quiet and I could be more fluid, which is strange.
Well, one of the things that I've had told to me by lawyers is that when they have done their morning pages, they are much more able to think on their feet in the courtroom.
Wow. So it's handy not just to writers of, say, fiction. This is great to a lot of people in their everyday lives, it sounds like.
Yes. It's for anybody who wants a more creative life.
You have a conference coming up at the ARE from June 3rd to 5th. Could you tell us about it?
Well, what I hope to do is to lead people through the steps of the artist's way in a sort of concentrated fashion. So people will learn the basic tools. People will learn what the many obstacles are and how to sort of step around them. People will do a lot of writing in the workshop as they sort of hone their desires and become more clear about what it is that they want.
So it's going to be highly interactive, I guess.
It's very interactive. People will be breaking into groups of 3, into little clusters. I will give them a tool. They'll work with the tool, and then they'll check in with their clusters and compare notes. So I feel like people will do a great deal of learning, not only from me, but from each other.
And that seems to be, that's an issue. I used to, when I was in junior high school and high school, I used to write short stories just for my own entertainment. But and actually a friend and I used to write stories and we'd read each other's. But sometimes it's difficult to get somebody to read what you wrote. So it's great if you can have, you know, those groups where you can give feedback.
Right.
Wow. So that's nice. Now, is there anything different? Now, you've been to the ARE before.
Yes.
Is there anything different about being at the ARE as compared to other locations around the world?
Yes, there is. I would say that they most closely resemble London audiences because what I find is that people are quite open-minded. They've done a lot of spiritual work on their own, and so they come to class prepared to dive right in. And they're an enjoyable audience with a good sense of humor.
Wow, so they're ready to get to it.
Yes.
We'll be right back with more with Julia Cameron on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Julia Cameron.
Now, how did you learn about Edgar Cayce?
Oh, I can't remember. I mean, I've known about Edgar Cayce for so many years. And I've read Cayce's writings, and I have read Jess Stern's book, There's a River.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And I myself believe strongly in intuition, and I think that my toolkit helps people to tune into it.
Wow. Oh, yes, I know that Mr. Cayce spoke of the creative forces and the importance of art and self-expression, which seems to fit with your perspective. So are there any other parallels in your teaching?
I think just the idea that you can drop down the well, so to speak, and contact a flow of ideas. That the creative forces are always present, and that we can open ourselves up to receive them.
Oh, yes, there's something that you have new that's going on. You're working on a new project now, Julia Cameron Live. Can you tell the listeners about it?
Well, when I first started teaching creative unblocking, I taught it in my living room. To small groups of people, and it was very individual. Then as my career went on, the audiences got larger, and in a sense, I missed the personal touch. And so we decided we would make a video of me teaching the artist's way right in my living room again. So it's a very intimate, interactive video, and it was intended so that people could go to week three and play it several times if they wanted to. If they didn't feel they were getting something, they could go forward and backward in it. They could get tuned into it early in the morning before the rest of the family was awake.
Wow. Well, that's nice. So then it's something they can follow online.
Yes.
And what's the website for that online experience?
JuliaCameronLive.com.
Okay, JuliaCameronLive.com. And I understand you connect, of course you mentioned this in a way, spirituality to creativity.
Yes, I don't differentiate between the two. I think as you become more spiritual, you become more creative. And as you become more creative and focus on your creativity, you become more spiritual.
That'd be perhaps demonstrated in Michelangelo.
Right.
Ah, or Handel's Messiah, perhaps.
Yes.
Wow. So then maybe not being so carnal, I guess seeking the spiritual pursuits can enable you to create something greater.
Yes. I think that if people learn to use the Artist Way Toolkit, which I have three basic tools. The first one we've talked about, and that's Morning Pages, which is the tool where you're sending. The second tool is to go out once a week all by yourself and do something that intrigues or interests you, to take you outside of your comfort zone a little bit and to have an adventure.
Oh, wow.
And when people do this, they often report back that they felt a heightened sense of spiritual connection.
Kind of like a retreat.
Yes.
But on a weekly basis.
Yes. It's just an hour or so where you put your focus on enjoying something in the world.
Do you have any suggestions for the audience?
Oh, there's lots of things that you can do. I live in Santa Fe now, and there's a gallery called Nedra Matucci, and it has a beautiful pond with koi fish, and I can sneak off there. And the rest of Santa Fe is pretty dry. There's not much water. It's the high desert. So sitting by this pond feels very refreshing.
Wow, so something maybe as simple as that, but it can be very refreshing then.
Right. I mean, I think in Virginia Beach, you can go to the shore.
Oh, yes. Wow.
But you can go to a children's bookstore. You can go to a fabric shop. You can go to visit a church or a synagogue. You could go to a botanical garden. It's pretty easy to devise a list of about 20 things that you could do and don't do, and then start meticulously doing them.
So then, I guess that's the opposite of locking yourself in your room trying to come up with ideas for a book or trying to meet a deadline. You have to get out of the house regularly to clear your mind.
Well, one of the things that I have found is that when we are creative, we are sort of fishing from an inner well. It doesn't matter if you're writing or painting or acting. It doesn't matter what your creative pursuit is. When you pursue it, you are sort of reaching down inside of yourself and hooking up an idea. And very often people will be going along very, very well, and then they'll hit a dry spell. And usually the dry spell is caused by their not having refilled the well. So when you do an artist date, you're restocking that inner well with images, and it makes your creativity flow much more readily the rest of the time.
Now, you have worked with diverse spiritual groups. Have you found anything that stands out as common to all of them?
I think people are all seeking a conscious contact with a power greater than themselves. And so it doesn't really matter whether you're a Sufi or a Buddhist or a Wiccan, or what your spiritual calling is. What you're seeking is that spark of connection. And again, this is where the toolkit helps. The third tool is very simple. It's walking. And it's very difficult to go out and walk for 20 minutes without having some little spark of connection. Walking helps us to integrate the ideas that we get from Morning Pages and Artist States.
Ah, it helps you to process that.
Yes.
Interesting. I know. I remember I used to actually walk to church, and I would walk in the evenings, and I would be able to see, because we had our youth group meetings at night, and it was very inspiring to be able to look up and see the constellations.
Right. One of the things I love about Santa Fe is the starry nights.
Oh, yes. You can actually see the stars.
Yes, I lived for 12 years in Manhattan, and we were lucky to see one star a night.
Oh, I remember that from Chicago, that we had a similar experience there. But yes, fortunately, I grew up in Mississippi, and it was quite a bit clearer.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, so just going out walking and maybe that exercise and finding inspiration.
Right.
So then, if you're looking for external inspiration, should one, when they're going on these walks, listen to music?
Well, I find if you're listening to music, you're taking the musician's walk.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
And it's similar, you know, if you walk with a dog, you're taking your dog's walk.
Oh, yes. It's kind of like driving with someone else. I mean, I guess you can kind of have sort of this experience driving. When you're by yourself, you start thinking, and I don't know, I guess when you're with someone, you're pretty much just taking your conversation on the road, making it portable rather than experiencing what's around you, perhaps.
Right.
Hmm. Now, I was wondering, can you explain creativity as an authentic spiritual path? What does that mean?
Well, again, it comes back down to that connection.
Ah, so like the other religious denominations, creativity itself can create a spiritual connection.
Yes, it does.
Hmm.
And I often speak of Morning Pages as being a form of meditation.
Oh, that makes sense. So you're connecting. It's not just something for your own good to come up with ideas. There's a spiritual aspect, sort of a meditative aspect to that.
Yes. And very often people report that they start to have a spiritual experience through using the tools.
We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Julia Cameron.
It's not just a cause and effect, being spiritual, causing creativity. Creativity can be a contributing factor to spirituality.
Yes, absolutely.
Hmm. Now, could you tell us about artist dates?
Well, artist dates are those once-a-week solo expeditions where you are out by yourself. You don't take a significant other with you. You don't take a child with you. You go by yourself, and you do something that's of interest to you, something that intrigues you, something that enchants you.
I see. That makes sense. I didn't know that was your term for it. Okay. That makes – I was imagining artist dates as make sure you do the first chapter by this date. Make sure you do this. Okay. So those are actually an artist date. So literally you're kind of like, it's a date, an event in which you're seeking something adventurous.
Right. And I think artist date is a very accurate term because what you do has something to do with art, artistry, your inner artist. But it also has to do with sort of wooing your artist. So it has to do with like a date in a romance where you plan something ahead of time and then you execute it and you look forward to it. This is all true with artist dates.
Hmm. Wow. Now, before we go on, I know You mentioned your website, Julia Cameron Live. Do you have another, I guess, a general website where people can go to learn more?
Yes. You can also go to theartistsway.com.
So theartistsway.com.
And that is my website connected with my publishing.
Okay.
So there are two websites, and they give you a pretty thorough dowsing.
Oh, goodness. Now, I was wondering if we could go into the blocks more. Could you tell us about limiting beliefs?
Well, we have a very destructive belief system around artists. We believe that artists are broke. We believe that artists are selfish. We believe that artists are crazy. We believe that either you can be a good artist or you can be married. We have a lot of either-or thinking. And the truth is that artists are, when they're working, are happy, friendly, solvent, pretty much the opposite of what our mythology tells us.
So when they're actually functioning and they're exhibiting their creative talents, then that's when perhaps they prosper more.
Yes, and I think that we have this negative belief system, and it makes it difficult. You know, if you believe you're going to be broke, it makes it that much harder for you to write a novel, because you not only have to face the blank page, you're facing down your demons. So part of what we do with The Artist's Way is we dismantle the negative conditioning that we have about being artists.
Is this, I understand, someone's compared it to like a 12-step program. Is it kind of like a 12-step way of tackling the problem?
Well, if you think of the 12-step programs as being spiritual rather than self-help, 12-step programs are seeking the help of a higher power. That's also true with The Artist's Way, that you're seeking the aid of a power greater than yourself. You might want to call it the Great Creator. And the Great Creator gives you cues and clues and support, and you eventually sort of come to depend on it.
Wow, so depending on something outside of yourself that's, I guess, greater or...
Greater and benevolent.
Ah, okay. Wow. So then you're replacing these negative blocks. Once they've overcome the blocks, what are they replacing that with?
Well, you have a sense of adventure.
Wow. So maybe a hopefulness?
Hopefulness, adventure, optimism.
Wow. And I know, yes, I guess a lot of people think, of course, it could be one of those limiting beliefs that artists deal with addictions more. I don't know if that's true, but I guess that's another, or a block to be overcome. And I was wondering, so if the artist, or I guess this could be expressed in a lot of people who don't realize maybe that they need to be expressing themselves more creatively, perhaps the addiction is self-medicating for the fact that they don't have an outlet for their creativity.
Well, a lot of us are frightened by our creativity. It's a powerful force. And sometimes when we feel our creativity, we feel out of control. And The Artist's Way teaches people that creativity is safe and that they don't need to reach for a block to derail it.
Wow, so it's enhancing that. I would think this would be useful in perhaps schools to let kids know that maybe some of the issues they're dealing with can be connected to not finding that creative outlet.
Right.
Are your books used as textbooks also?
Yes, they are.
Wow, that's great. And I was wondering about your other books. You've written fiction as well.
Yes. I wrote a book which I just loved called Mozart's Ghost. And that might be a book that the Edgar Cayce people would really enjoy.
Mozart's Ghost. That sounds interesting. Could you just give us a quick summary? Because I've got to know now.
Uh-huh. Well, the heroine is a woman who is a medium. And she falls in love with a concert pianist. She worries that if he knows of her mediumistic activities, that he'll drop her. He begins to be preparing for a big competition, and he's having trouble with his rehearsals. And Mozart's ghost shows up and starts talking to the young woman and telling her what he would have to do in order to win. And she's afraid to tell him. She's afraid to say, "Mozart told me."
Hmm. So then I guess to find out more, people will actually have to read your book.
Yes, I guess so.
Hmm. Wow. I was wondering, getting back to feedback, this is something I guess I have an issue with if I'm writing something out, or my wife, she does presentations sometimes. You know, how do you, when you're asking someone for feedback, how do you tell them, you know, try to get them to be honest?
Well, I actually believe in something called believing mirrors. And believing mirrors are people who reflect back to you your potential and your strengths and your possibilities. And they are honest and objective, but they are positive. I have a group of about 10 people who I go to when I need to have an objective view on something.
Hmm. Wow, so I guess you have to seek those people out.
Yes. So it's not necessary that they be strangers. It is necessary that they be capable of honest objectivity.
When it comes to that, on your end, you have to be open to that criticism.
You have to be willing to hear. But if you have a rough draft of a book and you give it to several people and they all find the same flaw, then you have to say to yourself, this is something I must address.
Oh, that makes sense. There's wisdom in many counselors.
Right. When I was writing Mozart's Ghost, I gave it to one woman, and she didn't get it at all.
We'll be right back with more with Julia Cameron on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Julia Cameron.
When I was writing Mozart's Ghost, I gave it to one woman, and she didn't get it at all. And I gave it to about 5 other people, and they all liked it. And so that enabled me to keep moving past the negativity of the one woman and to trust the positivity of the other people I was asking to evaluate.
Hmm, wow.
Sometimes if you don't have believing mirrors and you get negative feedback, you can end up aborting something that's really worthwhile.
Oh, that makes sense. If say if someone just has one person they bounce ideas off of, I guess that can be a bottleneck. You need to have a larger group. That makes sense because obviously your audience isn't made up of one person.
Right.
That's good to know because some people might just have their spouse or one friend review their book for them.
Right. I had a friend who wrote a first novel and sent it to an agent, and the agent dissed it. And he put the novel away in a bottom drawer and didn't show it to anybody else for 10 years.
Wow. That's a shame.
Right. And that happens often.
Goodness. Now, I was wondering, when it comes to your books, where can people buy them?
Well, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. They're available just about anywhere.
Okay, wow. And I guess Julia Cameron, they just type in your name in the search box and they can see all your books come up.
Yes, they type in my name and they are probably led to the Artist's Way website and they get thumbnail descriptions of each of the books.
Well, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
I guess I just would like to say, get out a pen, get out some paper, and do a little bit of morning writing and do it for a few weeks and see how it makes you feel.
Thank you for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
And now here's an update on the conferences coming up at the ARE. On June 18th, Mastering Your Life's Mission, Using the Universal Laws and the Power of Thought, Live the Life Your Soul Meant You to Live, with psychotherapist, popular Casey lecturer, and ARE Tours leader Peter Woodbury, MSW. From June 19th to the 24th, the 80th Anniversary ARE Members Congress, Honoring the Past, Celebrating Today, Creating the Future. Open to all. Join this traditional week of friendship, workshops, lectures, and social events. To find out more about these and other upcoming conferences, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. And now it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose. Kimberly Rose is the host of the radio show Interviews with Kimberly Rose on CBS Sky Radio on Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. She'll also be speaking at the upcoming conference, Be Your Own Psychic. It's the Edgar Casey Legacy, from October 19th to the 23rd at the ARE in Virginia Beach. To find out more, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what's today's thought for the day?
It's reading 24:54:4. Man's destiny lies within his individual grasp. Doth he hold upon the laws those self-evident truths, applying them in his relationships one to another, there may come the knowledge that he waketh and talketh with those who do exalt and glorify his name in the earth. It's a big one.
Oh,
I see that in a lot of different ways. I'm going to share it in a way that is more that's geared more toward how I do this. To me, when I actually lie, you know, when I come to a certain knowledge, and I walk and I talk and I stay in a certain vibration, I actually draw people into my life, and what's really neat, I draw those same types of people I channel people. I have guides that talk to me, and they remind me about these laws, and they remind me about my path. And the more and more I am in touch with my truth, the truths that are very self-evident within me, the more I am in touch with spirit.
It's interesting that it says, yes, man's destiny lies within his individual grasp. I know that God's will is something that a lot of times we don't see and, you know, can be outside of our control, but a lot of people might consider, you know, our destiny is beyond us. We can't really control it. We have to be, you know, in a state of confusion and wonderment as to what should I do next? What is this? I don't know. But I guess you have to take control and reach for something. I don't know. Sometimes you need to take a more assertive view and realize that your destiny, in a large part, lies within your own grasp.
That's so true.
Maybe that just means make a decision. But, of course, you know, there are things that are beyond us. But it's kind of like guiding a ship. You're heading toward a port, and if you don't steer it right, it's not going to end up at that port. You know, that's your destiny lies within your grasp.
That's a beautiful way to describe it. I actually, when you were saying that, you took me there, and that's true. That's absolutely true, and it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to go?
All right. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Julia Cameron for talking to us. And remember to check out her book, The Artist's Way, and her follow-up books, The Vein of Gold, Walking in This World, and The Right to Write. Also, remember to check out her conference, Julia Cameron's Creativity and Spirituality, Further Along the Artist's Way, with Kevin Tedeschi, which will be in Virginia Beach at the ARE from June 3rd to the 5th. You can find out more by going to edgarcasey.org, clicking on events, and then clicking on conferences. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey.